I would like to tell you one thing about my brother Lawrence. I thought he was really talented. He had just a high school education. After high school, he studied German with a gal out to Keene, and then went over to Germany for a year and studied textiles. He came back in that year, and he went down to Tennessee and set up a woven label factory for Mr. Blumback, Ernest W. Blumback. And he said he would give him a year down there. And when he came back, or Mr. Blumback kept him down there a little over a year. And when he came back, which was about 1939-40, and he knew what was going on overseas, because he, as I say, he'd been in Germany, and SS troops were all over the place. He told of one incident about getting being out on the street when Hitler was speaking, and he was put in jail, and it took him quite some time to get out, I guess. Anyway, he knew what was going on over there, and he tried to join in the service, and they wouldn't take him because he had flat feet. This was in 39-40, I would say. And so in 1941, December the 26th, that's now December 7th, 1941, war was declared. Then they started taking men, putting them in the service if they could walk or see enough, so they would put them in. In other words, he got into the service, and he got into the Air Force, but he was only ground crew. He couldn't be a pilot, and he was a ground crew, chief of ground crew. And he studied down in Biloxi, Mississippi. Then he came up, and I believe in Biloxi, Mississippi, he was a staff sergeant in less than a year. And that's when, that fall in September, that's when his plane went down up in Maine because of bad weather. They blamed on the bad weather. Lonnie, my son, and his wife, Joanne, and Jerry, my husband, my wife, went up to that location where his plane went down. And they had quite a ceremony for us there. It was very, very well worthwhile going up there. In Presque Isle, Maine, this was. Now, we get back to Lawrence, earlier days. He made a diving helmet. He had a square can. I'd say about, 8-10 gallon can. And cut a hole in one side of it and put isinglass in, bolted it in, and put lead all over it to make it heavy so it would stay down. And cut shoulder holes, or where it rests on your shoulders, and padded it with, hoses, old hoses packed in there, or bolted in or riveted in on. And then they had a long hose, long air hose. I don't know how long that thing must have been, at least 1,000 feet long. And they had two hand pumps on a crankshaft. And they had two handles, one on each end, one on each side. And they had people pumping those hand pumps, pumping air into the tank. And they used it quite a few times, I guess, walking. And he had a pair of sneakers, big sneakers, that everybody could get into. And Lonnie himself had big feet. He had a pair of sneakers, high sneakers, and he bolted a thick piece of lead to them. And they'd walk out on Silver Lake, on the bottom of Silver Lake. And I never dared to try it because I was too small, too young. They wouldn't let me try it anyway. And that was one thing he built. And as I say, he built a kayak, and he put pontoons on the side of an arm across with little pontoons on each side of it, and a sail. And he sailed on Silver Lake with that. Then he made a hand loom, which I've got right down in the cellar right now. And if anybody is interested, that hears this, anybody is interested in it, I'd love to have them in the family. I'd love to have them use it. It's a big loom. It's probably, it'd take up an area of about 6 foot square. It's a big, made out of hardwood. He did a beautiful job with it. And those are some of the things that he did. Very good photographer. He had, when he came back from Germany, he brought two German cameras from Germany and very nice lenses on them. And he took pictures with them. And he had developed his own pictures. Which a lot of them have been, they've been around, and they're still in good condition. They were still in good condition. I kind of almost worshipped my brother Lawrence. He was more of a father to me. Of course, he was 9 years older than I was. And I remember one time I was in the Friendly Indians, and he was leader. And the Indian leader, and we went up the mountain, and he was old enough to have a driving license at that time, and he had my dad's pickup. It was on a weekend. We had our dad's pickup, and we took the kids, the boys, up. I don't recall how many boys it were. It was five or six of us, six, seven of us, and we drove up to the mountain, and we walk up to the top of the mountain, come back down. We had a lunch box with lunch in it, and had a good time that day. And he, when we get back, he said he put the lunch box on one of the cement posts, the granite posts down by the youth center, which the youth center is now torn down. It's just a little vacant lot now. Put it on one of the granite posts, the hitching posts. And he said, would you take that lunchbox home with you when you go? I'm going down to Clarence Pericard's. And I thought I'd be smart. I left the lunchbox there. And I came home. Well, Brother Lawrence had a blue paddle. He made a paddle out of, I believe, pine. And nice, made a nice grooved handle on it. And he used that paddle on me. And it was a wise thing to do. Funny thing, you know. Smart thing to do. But I paid for it in the end. You're asking for I don't know. My dad had an expression when something went wrong. He'd say, "Go rent it." And Dad never used any foul language. Not around us kids, anyways. And I used to work, that was another thing. I used to work with Dad on the road, or ride around with him. And this one day, Dad smoked a pipe in those days, and he had two or three pipes, and he'd have them in the glove compartment to pick up. And this one day, he stopped, and he was had a conversation with one of the fellows of the state that was concerned in the tarring job, and they were up sitting on the bank in the shade talking, and I got into the glove compartment and I said, "I guess I'll fix Dad's pipes up." So I got my jackknife out. Always had a nice jackknife, good sharp, and I scraped them all out, you know, cleaned all the bowls out of the nice crust in there. Well, I'll tell you, boy, I got lined out in lavender about that. "Oh, gee, it took me so long to get those all crusted up," he says. "Now I got to start all over again on them." And that's another story of as far as I was concerned. The whole family, everything, used to go to, over to Newfane, Vermont. And that was where Uncle Fred Wiswell lived. And that was Grandpa Wiswell's brother. And he never married. And he was a minister of sorts. I don't believe he was ever ordained as a minister, but he was a preacher anyways. And we went over there on Sundays. Mother would always say, "Now you leave the funny papers in the truck. Don't bring them in the house." They didn't allow any papers at all, any funny papers, or any of the papers at all on Sunday. That was a day of rest for them. Anyway, that was another story. I don't know. You were asking about, I get plenty of advice from mother and father. As far as the grandparents were concerned, they were, I think, Grandpa and Grandma Rob, I was only 11 years old when they died, so I didn't know too much about them. But Grandpa and Grandma Wiswell, Grandpa Wiswell was an awful, he was a jolly fella. And I did some work with him, worked in the garden for him, and at one time brought in the wood for him. Of course, the old saying, Grandpa Rob, was the old saying, was, "I guess I'll go down into the pasta and get some raspberries. Down the road a piece into the pasta and get some raspberries." And as it was as I say that, and of course the farm was between four and five miles up to, up 101, whereas Graham and Gramp Wiswold were right down here in Marlboro. They just a hop, skip, and a jump down the road, down the through the one of the cow pastures and right across the road. There was one time the narrow fabric mill right across the road from Graham and Grandpa's both caught on fire. And that, as I say, was not very far from up. But matter of fact, I can remember that night, it was at night that it happened, and I can remember, because they wouldn't let me go down, I can remember the heat. You could feel the heat up on the hill from that fire. And they had an old steamer, pumper. The fire company did. It used to be drawn by two pair of horses. And they set that on the bridge, which was just below below the Graham and Grant Principles on 101. And they pumped water out of the river to put the fire out. And the pumper, the steamer, was run on coal. And soft coal, I believe. And I can remember Lawrence used the pickup, Dad's pickup, to carry the coal from Keene. He could out and get a load of pickup load of it and bring it out. And in the meantime, Dad wondered where Lawrence was with the pickup. And when he got home, he told him what he was doing. He says, "My Lord," he says, "a good thing." He says, "You didn't get up close to that fire," he says. "But I had a case of dynamite and a box of cats in that." He had a big wooden toolbox up at the front part of the body of the pickup. And in that toolbox, down underneath, was a case of dynamite and a box of caps. In those days, he was he used to blast out ice jams in the river so that they wouldn't have any problems on the roads. Because nowadays, those roads followed the river, you know, and anything happened in the river, by golly, it had to be taken care of by the state highway. I think that's a pretty good time to stop it up now.